Oh, is it time to start going?
I explained this the last time that we actually started.
I know. What happened was Chris was the last person to say something. So on this, the last person to say something is the last person to show up in the window. On mine.
Oh, see, my Skype just rotates between the two of you at random intervals.
Yeah, it's supposed to, but much like everything else, doesn't seem to be working well today. So hey, welcome everybody. It's Stunt Granny Audio number 394. It's a special edition. There's three of us because no one can possibly cover the Hulk Hogan trial on their own, let alone two people. So I had to bring in the heavy hitter for 15, 20 minutes and then bail out before I fall asleep trying to talk about Raw. I'm Jeremy Mays. That's Kevin Left in the background. The shock silence, that's Chris Calamita. Hello, boys.
Hey, guys, what's up?
If we only go 15 to 20 minutes on this, I will be surprised. This is one of those things where I did not really watch much of the first day of testimony at all. But today's testimony was so ridiculous and so boringly repetitive. I did start to glaze over at some point when Hogan was on the stand.
I was okay when Hogan was on the stand. It was when they had the former PR person for TNA on a on which I believe was a tube television. Was that? Am I incorrect in that?
I think so. It looked like an HD television of some nature.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
I tapped out on her, although she did have one glorious nugget of information when she said, people want to talk to Hulk Hogan. They don't really care about the rest of our talent.
Yes. I was very happy to hear that. And she is the former PR person.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's not the current one, so...
I'm sure she had pay issues. I'm sure she's got nothing good to say about her time there.
But I also wonder if she was one that got brought in when Hogan and Bischoff came in, too. And I don't know. I didn't even catch the lady's name. At first, I thought it was Pixie Park.
She said she was only there for 18 months, starting in, like, 2011 to the end of 2012, early 2013 or something like that. I think I caught that part. So.
She provided nothing outside of that nugget. Unless she did. It sounds like we all tapped out on her. So we have no idea.
I guess they brought her on for the timeline issues of when Hogan found out what and what his mood was that day.
Okay, let's start the beginning here because I didn't know the trial was going on. I saw you're tweeting about it. I'm like, found where it was, started watching it. So I'm a little lost on the entire point of this, outside of Hogan saying I'm Terry Bollea, but when I leave my house I'm Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, okay, cool. What does that have to do with anything? Like, what are they trying to prove? And that's a serious question. What are they trying to prove in order to get this $100 million?
That Gawker violated Terry Bollea's right to privacy. I believe that that's the case, and that they caused Terry Bollea emotional distress and loss of income.
That was one of those parts that I couldn't believe how many times it was gone over, how there's this major difference between what Terry Bollea believes and what Hulk Hogan believes.
Oh, we'll get to the biggest one later.
Oh, it sounds like, should we just jump on that one now? Because that's the best nugget.
Okay. All right, fine.
Okay, I actually, if Kevin was going to intro the show, I was going to start off with a confession that, no, my penis is not 15 inches. Granny Mays' penis is 15 inches long. But Jeremy Mays' is not, I guarantee you, is not 15 inches long. Have you ever seen a trial? Have you ever seen anywhere where somebody had to go out of their way to explain their dick is not as big as they made it out to be.
I don't think I've never seen anything like that in my life. The Gawker's lawyer just let out an exasperated, seriously? At that point.
That's all I got from today. Was it Honus's cock is not what it's supposed to be. And I was like, well, dude, I've seen the video. I mean, you got nothing to sneeze at. But hey, thank you for clarifying. I don't know. I guess as he's married now, because you know if he was married, he'd be like, no, that's actually the only legitimate thing that Hogan and Terry Bollea share in common.
Because I did like, because that whole radio bit that he was doing with Bubba when they were talking about that was one of those things that I was just howling at, because what, it got rumored at 15 and then he said it was two-thirds of that?
It's because part of what Gawker is, his defense is that Hulk Hogan made Terry Bollea, whoever, made his sexual prowess something up for public discussion by going on these shows and having these conversations. So then Hogan / Terry, his reaction to that is to say, it was Hulk Hogan who said that his penis
okay.
his Terry Bollea is not.
I just liked that they had to do the math on that one. I mean, the 15 is one of those numbers that is easily divisible by 3, and it's just like, that's all you need to do, guys. You just need to divide by 3. I'm just sitting there at my desk just shaking my head.
Okay, I said on a tweet about this, too. This is our American justice system. You have a man under oath. Well, one, I mean, get to the WrestleMania stuff and Andre stuff, but having to defend his penis size in order to win $100 million. I mean,
or how accurate his description of it is, or not really his description, but Hulk Hogan's description of his penis.
You know, they say the system's broken. I'm gonna say it's broken. I just gotta throw that out there.
He volunteered this information that had nothing to do with the questioning at all.
He seems to volunteer a lot of information or feelings or conjecture. Where if I'm his lawyer, so I'm like, conference? I don't know if they can do that or not. Throw a flag, something.
There were frequent objections and points where they went up to the judge, and that was when the volume got muted. So yeah,
And that bailiff struts to the camera. Like, yep. What's going on, jurors? Standing there staring. And you can see, like, he's kind of dejected every time. He's like, are you guys done? All right. I guess I'll be back for my 3 minutes of camera time. It'll be about 10:15 again. All right. One of this is a small criticism. Is anybody else not getting stereo? Is it only coming through one ear when listening?
Oh, I didn't really pay attention.
Oh, okay.
I've been good so far.
My feed has only been coming through on the left, so luckily I've been able to hear everything, but if they ever have someone from the right side of the room yelling, I'm screwed. So, which I don't think someone would actually yell in the court of law. But, I guess we should have prefaced this. My legal expertise is A Few Good Men, My Cousin Vinny, and The Firm. Which actually didn't take place in court, I don't think. So anyways,
mine is mostly predicated on Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Oh, yes, I did forget that. Yes.
I'm learning a lot from The People versus O.J. Simpson. I can't watch the lawyer shows a lot in my life, so.
Well, the gladiator arenas of the 20th and now 21st century. So.
If you're going to. Well, this would certainly put at odds anything if you try to argue for the intellectual battle. of wits instead of a Coliseum type situation, because having to talk about a man and or his alter ego's penis size.
Okay, yeah, this one's for Krista.
Is yet again okay. Not exactly intellectually challenging stuff.
What was your tweet about him having, or I think it was Facebook, what was that about him having to explain what Hulkamania is or was? Did he actually have to describe?
Yeah, he actually had to describe who, what Hulkamania was and who the Hulk Hogan character, what the Hulk Hogan character is. And I believe that was during the original cross-examination, so that's, I guess, trying to establish some sort of damages to the brand, the Hulk Hogan brand, I assume. I don't, if it started at, I don't know where exactly when this is, I was alerted that this was available, that a live feed was available sometime around, I want to say, 1 o'clock or so yesterday, so I don't know how long he'd already been on the stand. I know I think they played something from the Chicky Bang, Bubba's wife. I don't know if she was actually on the stand. So yeah, I came kind of in the middle of his dissertation on Hulkamania.
So all right, so what from what you saw, what was Hulkamania? I would love to know this.
Well, Hulkamania is an ideal of the real American. He says his prayers, he takes his vitamins, he believes in himself. It's the usual Hulk Hogan rap.
As it should be, really.
Okay. I guess, I don't know, would it have mattered if they would have asked, well, did Hulk Hogan take steroids and admit it? Or was that Terry Bollea admitting that he took steroids? I don't know if that has anything to do with the case, but if there's two separate people, well, who was doing the drugs? I mean,
yeah,
that would have just been a fun one. Just be a dick, but
they didn't get there. But Hogan got all of his classic lines in. I worked 400 days a year because of time differences in Japan. Twice
he didn't
a day
really
every
say
day.
That, did he?
No, you know what? I don't think he said that one, but he did say that I had 400 to 450 matches a year in my heyday, which is complete bullshit.
Yeah, he seemed pretty good at the complete bullshit phase of all of the proceedings that I saw, including Andre the Giant weighing 700 pounds.
I cannot believe that.
I was waiting for him to give attendance figures. So come on, say 93,000 people.
I could not believe it. In a court of law, under oath, he said he didn't know if he was going to win, if that Andre was 700 pounds, would he buy some of them? He went all in. It was really amazing.
Well, at least he didn't say that he pressed that big stinky giant over his head and slammed it. So, you know, he didn't get to that point. But I guess having Andre the Giant be dead, you know, it's kind of beneficial to where if they wanted to, they could call up Andre the Giant and be like, "Were you at any time not gonna lose that match?" No, it was pretty clear, or however Andre would say it. Okay, thanks. Well, he already lied about this. Can we just dismiss this case, please? The demeanor of the lawyers, like, they actually, I don't know if you guys saw Making a Murderer or not, they reminded me of Stephen Avery's defense team. Very laid back, very polite, and then he started getting on Hogan about something today. And I was like, where's this guy? Like, is this somebody new talking? It wasn't, like, yelling at him. It wasn't, like, giving him a point in the finger saying, you need to say this. But he started getting agitated. And Hogan started reciprocating. I'm like, here we go. Someone's finally going to melt down. And I think, like, 30 minutes later, they called lunch.
Yeah, that was the whole part today was trying to just break down that all the inconsistencies Hogan has told over the years, all of his tall tales. I mean, they succeeded in making him look bad. There's no question. But did they prove their case? I don't think so. The defense attorney never went in for any kind of a kill. I thought, just kind of, I guess, hoping that the jury picks up on that this guy's full of it.
I still don't see how separate. Like I don't know from what limited I saw how proving Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea are two different people. Like it, how it would like one would affect. I'm just confused by this. And I reading more about these cases usually get settled. I was telling Kevin this earlier. I was like, no wonder these cases get settled, because this is ridiculous. The fact that Hogan was making himself out to sound like a victim because he got to bang some hot broad, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, I wasn't real that comfortable, and you know, if I was more comfortable with it, then you know, the performance, it would have been different. And I think this was the Howard Stern interview. He's like, well, how would it be different? No, he's basically saying that he would have tore that ass up. That's what he can't say in a trial.
Yeah,
I have to make it sound like having sex with this hot ass chick isn't working for me. It's like just stop it.
Yeah.
Are we gonna get her on the stand at some point?
I guess we might if we're getting the TNA PR person on the stand. I assume her and Bubba will both be witnesses, as well as anyone who's a reporter or an executive at Gawker at certain points. I mean, as I tweeted, this whole thing has been booked really horribly. They put the main event on first. You know, you never do that. I don't know if I'll be paying all that close of attention over the next few weeks to this after they've already had Hogan. I mean, I'll be paying attention. I'll be get updates, but I don't know if I need to listen and watch this thing.
Wait, this isn't done? Done?
Oh.
It can take up to three weeks.
Yeah, again, you were talking about why this is always settled, and that's why. Like, it takes forever. I mean, it Hogan almost had two full days of questions.
Yeah, and he's the plaintiff. You know, they put the plaintiff through the ringer. I mean, Hogan's lawyers have to put, you know, every single person who works at Gawker or who had anything to do with that, you know, just pound them down, you know, over the next few weeks when they're up on stage, on the stand. So, yeah. So, yeah.
Why the hell would Hogan go first?
Usually the plaintiffs of the prosecution, I think, usually do go first.
Well, no, I understand that, but why would you have your star guy go first? You'd almost want to wait. Get everything out, and then the bomb. Well, yeah, I guess. Well, no. They cross-examine the Gawker guys. They wouldn't. Again, my knowledge from my cousin Vinny here. I guess they would bring them up second,
right?
Or they would have. But no, I don't think Bubba can testify, because I believe there was some sort of agreement worked out. He paid Hogan some. He paid, I believe, Terry Bollea money, even though everything says Hulk Hogan, that he paid Hogan $5,000? Only five, which is weird.
$5,000. I mean, that's this whole Gawker
thing.
I mean, Hogan risks a lot to take this, all, including the racial stuff getting out, to make the big score. He wants the big score out of this. And that's one of the things that the defense did do smartly, is say, ask him, why didn't you go guns blazing after Bubba? Why didn't you go guns blazing after TMZ or whatever the other tabloid website is? You know, almost ask him, why Gawker?
Now, wasn't Gawker the one that put out the entire tape, though?
I think...
Because I remember TMZ, they by their own admission, what they've showed in this trial so far, only put out snippets of it, right? I believe.
Yeah, I think that with Gawker, I don't think the whole tape has ever been out there, because because remember, Vivid wanted to Hogan to sign off on releasing the whole thing. So I don't think the whole thing has ever been out. I think, you know, it's several minute long clips are the only thing that are out there, but it's out there. And, you know, Gawker was, you know, arrogant and defiant. You know, they're, you know, at the heart of this case, it is actually, once you strip away the silliness, it's actually kind of an important First Amendment case as far as rights, you know, rights of the press versus, you know, the rights of privacy, even if you're a celebrity. It actually is kind of important.
Yeah, I'm confused by Gawker's defense of saying this was in the public interest.
Public interest is this?
Yeah, I don't see how having someone's I don't know if you can use the word stolen, but I'll use it. Someone's stolen sex tape, filmed against their will, leaked against their will, from what he's saying. And putting it out there, I don't see the public interest or the public, I lost my train there, but I don't see how this serves the public at all. Like, does anyone really want to, like, who, did anybody need to see Hogan's donger? I mean, did anyone need to know he's banging somebody else's wife? I mean, I don't understand the need for this, so I don't get their defense at all.
Yeah, I don't think they have a great defense, which is why they wanted to attack his character so much. You know, but I mean, I know civil trials are different than criminal trials as far as, you know, it's not reasonable doubt. It's something else. I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about this part of the law. But yeah, so I think that's exactly why Gawker is trying to make it about his character instead of really, you know, fighting their defense of this, the whole public interest defense. It is pretty flimsy. I mean, again, as I said earlier, they made him look bad. But as far as, you know, moving towards winning their case, I don't think they put a dent in Hogan's case in that regard. So.
Yeah.
I still see him winning this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, like, they didn't prove that they didn't do anything wrong. Like, they made him look like an ass and a liar, and that he can tell some tall tales, but I'm not sure why you think that... I mean, you've really got to prove some line of he wanted this tape to get out, which they didn't really ask him about. At all.
I mean, I guess they were trying to say that he was, especially when he was with Howard Stern, you know, on the Bound for Glory press tour, that, you know, he was being joking about it, being jovial about it, that it really wasn't that big of a deal to him, maybe until he realized that there was a big cash score at the end for him. But once again, no matter what he's lied about, no matter if he's just, you know, greedy for money or what have you, it doesn't change what they did.
I've been trying to formulate what would be the public interest of releasing the tape. Like, because all of anything about his racial epitaphs, any of that stuff, is inadmissible in this. This is strictly for the sex tape, which I understand contains that. So... trying to figure out grounds for what would serve the public interest, because I don't even think that him using racial epithets serves a public interest as well. I mean, I guess you could build the case that he's a bigot, whatever, but okay, no. But what celebrity doesn't have some sort of what surprising information that would be?
Right. And on his side, they can't argue that either, because, I mean, your words aren't protected. Once they leave your mouth, anyone who, with an earshot, can repeat what you said as long as they don't misrepresent what you said. The issue is, you know, the video of his naked body in the act of having sex.
Yeah.
And that being the invasion of privacy.
Which I think part of this also is, like, it's a lot easier to talk about something like this. You know, if someone's like, yeah, I saw your tape, it's like, ah, yeah, sure you did, and or okay, and then go on and blather about it. Act kind of defiant about it, but it's something totally different to where It's actually out there. It's like, I guess what I got from the defense was, well, you're talking about it, so that makes it okay. Well, no. There's always that get ahead of the story mentality. Or, well, yeah, get ahead of the story. Try to, you know, change the story. Mold the story to your benefit. That sort of thing. And I think Hogan couldn't do it in this case, or he was trying at least. And really, hadn't everyone kind of forgotten about the sex tape thing until the next part where he's blasting Brooke's choice of boyfriend? And
right. That's going to be the thing here. I think he wins this, but is it the big score? If he doesn't get 100, you know, because it's not the they already made the Aaron Andrews, you know, anything mentioning that, you know, immaterial. That's nothing to do in this case. That's something completely different. That's what the hotel did was absolutely despicable to her. You know, letting the guy, you know, telling was basically a complete stranger what room she was in, letting him book the room next to her, and even giving that person her itinerary. You know,
holy shit, really? I didn't follow that at all. So.
Yeah, I knew they had given her the first two parts. I didn't know about the itinerary part.
Wow.
No, I shouldn't say itinerary, just her arrival date and her checkout. Oh. They gave that information. But yeah, none of those elements are in play here. And if he only gets, you know, say $10 million and he's gotta, you know, pay off his lawyers, after all those costs, everything he's been through, including the racial rant getting out, it probably wasn't worth it for him. It's worth it for him if he gets the $50 to $100 million, you know, payout.
But he'll also get the talk show circuit, the interview circuit. He'll have another book he can write out of this, and then he can also claim the high road and just say, "I fought the good fight. I wasn't in it for the money. The money was immaterial. I was doing the, you know, you hedge high so you get what you actually want," that sort of thing. It's an easily spinnable thing. So,
how dare you say that Hulk Hogan would spin something, sir? How dare you?
He's not even spinning half of this information. It's just flat out wrong.
Right, and it was better today, but yesterday, I think both lawyers were almost lobbing softballs at him about, know, what this meant for him, and it's like his ego would not allow him to look weak. That, you know, today he did a better job. I'm sure somebody made, you know, it's just in the name of proving damages. It's just like, you know, yesterday he had the air of, you know, I'm Hulk Hogan, you know, I'm the real man, I'm the greatest of all time, and you know that ego was at play. But then today, when the lawyer asked him, "Have you?" about his guard, and his guard was people, and he finally said something like, "No, I have never. I'm not the same person. I have my guard. You know, my guard is up with people now until eternity." When he said something like that, that proves, you know, him something of emotional distress. But yesterday, it was just his ego, like, wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, I like I said, I couldn't speak to how things were yesterday. Today, yeah, I mean, he still didn't really act like he was all that hurt.
Right.
Even kind of explaining the difference, he didn't, even if he went off script, like, he didn't go off script to help himself. Like, he didn't say, "Oh, it hurt Terry Bollea inside, but, you know, I knew I needed to do this."
Right, and the monetary, you know, issue here. He kept his, he may have lost Rent-A-Center, but who knows if that contract was already going to be up, you know, anyway. I never heard that he was actually fired from Rent-A-Center. He just lost it, so I don't know if he was ever actually fired from that job. But then he kept his TNA job. Immediately, then left there to immediately begin negotiations with WWE. And in the meantime, he was a $35,000 a day guy on the convention scene. He lost basically nothing from this, other than Rent-A-Center, which I'm not really sure if he was ever fired from that gig.
I was going to say, with the Rent-A-Center, do they even advertise anymore? That's not a snark question. I'm trying because they used to be him and Troy Aikman. And yeah, I don't remember seeing anything for them now.
I still see generic commercials, but they don't have not picked up a new celebrity spokesperson. That may have just been done. They may have just been done with Bowman and Aikman, and that just the timeline just matched up. So once again, it's proving that you know he's lost any money from this tape getting out. I'm not sure if it's there. I'm not sure if the not sure if $100 million in damages is there.
Yeah, especially because they can't use WWE dropping him as a loss of income as well.
Right.
Because that has nothing to do with it. I was just thinking of going back to the way beginning of this. You're talking about what was Hulkamania? Like, who was Hulk Hogan the character? And I remember it was funny because I just thought about this when you were talking. Today, Hogan had to say when he was on the radio, that wasn't Terry Bollea talking about his penis, that was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was the virtuous character Hulk Hogan talking about his penis.
Yes, yeah, so like the Hulk Hogan character has changed. Like, wait, this just... So wait a minute. So Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, was eat your prayers, say your vitamins... I'm not high. I swear to God, I'm not.
Well, we all know.
Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and whatever the other thing was.
Believe in yourself. Where was it? Say your prayers, take your vitamins, train. He added believe in yourself later. There was a fourth demand, I believe, sometime around, the early 90s that came into play.
Well, then, somewhere along the line, I guess it's when he turned evil with the NWO, it allowed him to start talking about his schmeckle all the time. And using his daughter on TV, exposing his life. Because today, it was partly yesterday as well, they were talking about how that entire show was scripted for anybody who didn't understand that. So, and then the lawyer.
For anyone whose life hasn't been shattered and been told that reality TV is all scripted.
Well, what's funny is the lawyer kept saying, the reality show. So even though pretty much everyone knows this stuff is fake, he keeps driving it home by saying the word reality show all the time.
Just trying to prove that Hogan's whole life is a work, essentially. But the thing, both of you guys might have missed this. Hogan was like explaining the concept of Hogan Knows Best. He was talking about various plots they used in the episodes. Like, they went to Montana and rode horses. I watch that show every week, I hate to say, but... They never did an episode where they went to Montana. So he lied about that, too.
Oh, God. How can he just say that and then not have some sort of evidence to back it? I would be under the impression that everything he says would be under a microscope, and somebody goes, we have a list of all the episodes here. I don't see where you guys went to Montana. So it sounds like the defense... Because obviously, his team's not going to say anything. But the defense should be all over that. The defense should have some sort of fucking wrestling nerd sitting there going, okay, so when you went to Montana and rode horsebacks and fed the dolphins, then got on a spaceship back to California before you took a trail back to Florida, what episode was that? Someone could be going, no, objection. Even if you're not supposed to. You just nudge the lawyer and go, no, go through the list here. I'm surprised there's not somebody there fact-checking all this stuff.
Right. The lawyer was just building and building to something and then never went into the kill. It's almost like he felt bad for this delusional old man on the witness stand who was just living in his own dream world.
I don't know. It's almost as if Gawker's lawyers didn't realize this was actually going to go to trial, and Hogan's lawyers were like, "We're going to trial. Let's just surprise him and go to trial, though." So we'll half prepare. We'll three quarters prepare. Well, the other guys will half prepare. But again, this is like my cousin Vinny knowledge. So maybe there's something that we don't know. But it just seems ripe for opportunity if they're going through. To disseminate his character, that would be the perfect time for it. Just go, no, that didn't happen. No, Andre Giant didn't weigh 700 pounds. No, we now call Vince McMahon. Hey, was he ever going to lose the match? I'd just be kind of like you said with watching O.J. Simpson, the show, where their defense was every single time they say something, we're gonna require a special session. We're gonna object to it. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this. We're gonna nitpick everything. That's what I figure Gawker would do, or Gawker's lawyers, I would say.
Gawker doesn't want to pay their lawyers too much.
It seemed like everything they were doing was building up to this grand just throw everything at him. And if you had thrown like everything at him, like you're a phony, your whole life is a fraud, is and all this, he would have cracked. He is not. His mind is not in a great place in his early 60s. He is, and it started years ago in those TNA promos where he would just trail off, and then leading into the Silverdome Superdome fiasco. His mind is not in a great place. You could easily get him to trip up, but they never went in for the kill.
Well, they also, every time we said something, it's like, to the best of our recall, or I'm not sure about that, or I believe it was. He's like, I'm terrible with dates. I'm terrible with names, which is why I call everybody brother.
That was amazing.
One other favorite part is when he actually had to demonstrate Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan. He immediately is like, you don't want to talk about brother? It goes like straight to the jury. I was like, did that just happen? And then there was another part where he did it again, too, where he talked about Hulk Hogan, talked like Hulk Hogan, and ended it with brother. It's going back to the Hogan Terry Bollea thing. It's a pretty solid defense, though, when you say the second I leave my house, I'm Hulk Hogan. And I can't, I don't.
But when he's at his friend's house, he gets to be Terry. Or at least he thought to be Terry with Bubba. It's an interesting way to go about it, and I think I think it works.
Well, it was funny, because I was talking to Shahid about it, and I was like, he's like, so Mel Gibson hating Jews, but he can just say it was William Wallace. And I was like, no, it's still Mel. Actors are different. We all understand they're two different people. I was like, the only people that can get away with that, only a wrestler could pull this. And he mentioned rappers, because most of the rappers now go by stage names, and they have that public persona or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah. So he follows up with, DMX might be crazy, but Earl Simmons never hurt anybody. And okay. I don't know if you guys know the trials and tribulations of DMX.
He's had a few problems.
He was just arrested again last month. I mean, he lives in Greer, South Carolina, which is right where Eric too lives. So it's like, what a great defense! Like, no, DMX didn't do anything. It was all Earl Simmons didn't do anything. I was playing a character who's a crackhead, and I'm like, you know what? Someone sign us up. I think we got his defense. Excuse me. I did tell Shahid he needs to be on retainer. So,
yeah, I got a good kick out of his Wesley Snipes avoided taxes, but Blade didn't.
No, I think it was the opposite. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Blade is the character. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it works for a wrestler.
Blade didn't pay any taxes either. No one knew who the fuck Blade was. Vampire killer living in some guy's wacky laboratory. So, that one doesn't hold up, actually.
Upon further examination.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of one.
Did you know? I know it was from something years ago, and I don't know if we ever ragged on his early Stern appearances over at the Torch Forum or anything, but when Howard Stern mentioned something, when the whole family was in there, and Howard mentioned about taking Brooke's virginity, and Hogan actually said, well, she's the right height, brother.
That was another piece.
What?
Yeah, that was in the trial today. They mentioned that as part of the defense. I was just like...
I missed that part of it.
I was just sitting at my desk, just mouth agape, going, really? Like, did I just hear that?
I just, like, what do you even say to that?
I guess it's to prove once again that Hogan's sexual prowess, just sexual talk and his perverted talk is just something that's a public record and a public interest.
If Hulk Hogan wouldn't have joined the NWO, this wouldn't have happened. The Hulk Hogan character would be squeaky clean still.
And Juror 27 wouldn't have been kicked off the...
Somebody got kicked off?
I've heard alternating stories of whether it was this is real or someone's idea of a hoax, that one of the jurors was asked if they... Basically, one of the jurors ended up saying that he felt betrayed by Hulk Hogan going to the NWO in 1996, so he was disqualified.
Oh, fuck off. That's not real. There's no chance.
It's still real to me, damn it. It's still real to me.
Oh, man. Because isn't the jury all women, though? From what I saw, it was supposedly all women. They didn't release that, though, do they? Well, I mean, I guess it's common knowledge. Anybody can just say it.
This isn't a murder trial. I mean, it's not like it's not like Hulk Hogan's going to have any of these people, or Gawker's going to have any of these people bumped off.
I haven't really looked at the... because I don't feel like they've really shown them at all.
No.
And I haven't really paid attention.
Straight and just veering to the right or left. Not going further than the judge or the TV when they wheeled in that 1986 beautiful 1986 box television.
Yeah, I'm gonna stare at that thing tomorrow if it's up there, but nothing seems to want to load. But apparently, one of the jurors. Oh, here we go. Philip was a jury on Thursday. Thursday, blah 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 blah. Bubba Clem. What a horrible name, by the way. But
I think his name's Todd.
Yeah, I thought it was Todd Clem.
Oh, and
they were calling him Bubba Clem, which is, I was just like, oh, that just sounds even weird, or also, even worse.
And they also had to repeatedly use the phrase, love sponge, as well. Oh, I cannot believe that was in a court of law. I hear that in a court of law. Ugh.
Okay. What I found was that, it says here, Turkle, I'm not sure what lawyer that is, asked the jurors if these facts and the sex tape itself would hinder the ability to be fair and impartial. Several individuals raised their hands. Here's the kicker. It goes against my personal beliefs and my relationship with Jesus Christ. One man said that he could make an effort to be a fair juror, but indicated the case made him squeamish. I think the whole subject matter of the case gives me serious problems. Another woman raised her hand, waded through the moral dilemma of watching the graphic footage. The sex tape will be shown to the jury, but not to the media or anybody else. Really? We've seen it. Who said her religious beliefs and her marriage of 35 years gave her misgivings about watching it, but her civic duty takes precedence. No, she said. Am I willing to, as a citizen? Yes. That's some horny old bitch that's like, yeah, I want to see Hulk Hogan's donger going half-assed on this woman because apparently he wasn't that into it to tear it all up. So.
And he just ate a big plate of Mexican food or something.
Oh, it was Italian.
It was Italian, that's right.
Yeah, which, that makes total sense. So I'm with him on that one. And if that's the case, that's why he gave a half-assed effort. All those carbs just sitting in his stomach, you're not getting good thrust off of that. You're just not.
And it's so, I guess it's a shame they didn't. If Bubba's house didn't have his house quite as good as a Sonny's porn film, that they didn't catch all the stomach growling and the farting that was probably going on.
Okay. Is that real? Because I didn't watch the tape. I saw the preview only. Was she really farting in this thing?
That's what I've heard. That's from
I gotta go find it.
Yeah, I have not taken my time to find that. I am not.
I'll send the link, trust me. Hang on, let's see what I find here. This is where I wish I had a machine so I could just...
you wish you had somebody to just sit there and type stuff in for you for information.
Yeah.
Pop it up on your screen during the show.
Who's Sonny Leon?
I don't know.
There's a whole bunch of stuff about her fart. So...
I'm not up to my current Dick Weave porn.
Oh, someone's got
it. The 90s were the golden era.
Yeah, then you see them all now, and it's like, I wish he would have just died.
You do not look any better.
Even for me, I was like, oh, that's a little mean.
You do not look any better than Sonny right now.
fuck it. I'll find it later. We'll link it on somewhere else. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's much more to say about this thing. Apparently, we have 2 more weeks of this garbage to go through, unless Hogan just finally got. Well, I don't know why Hogan would even bother saying, "Nah, forget it." Now he's done. I guess he could be recalled at any time, right? But
right, I think it's some specific portion of the trial he could be recalled.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Most of our knowledge of the law comes from crime shows, because that's the interesting stuff. A civil case is incredibly boring.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So. Oh yeah, and without those couple of gems from Hogan today. It really would have been incredibly boring. Just because, I mean, there were a couple of times where if I wasn't doing actual work, I would have dozed off. Because, oh, that was funny when somebody mentioned that the Gawker lawyer should do MSRP. Is that what it is? it's where people talk very quietly and soothingly, and it helps put people to sleep. Like, it helps ease their mind. Like, I'll need to look it up. Some woman mentioned it. I mean, there are just a shit ton of videotapes online.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Well, one thing I did just learn, though, a question I just read was, do porn stars ever get sick from filleting a penis that was just in their anus? If so, what kind of sickness?
Evan, we're not talking about Raw tonight. There's no way we could follow any of this.
I'm not too sure of the sense in which you meant the word sick. You can figure it out, I'm sure. My strong guess is that you meant it in the medical sense, but I'll try to answer the question in the other sense, too. If by sick you mean pukey, I'm sure a lot of porn... So, if someone asks you if a girl throws up, and you actually have a medical answer, whatever. We can talk about Raw real quick, though.
Well, we don't really have a whole lot of time, so,
well,
I mean...
We can cliff notes this thing, yeah.
Let's see, the first hour of the show and the last 15 minutes of the show, outside of Chris Jericho turning on AJ Styles, which no one saw coming. Is that about it?
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean,
they did a lot of building for Roadblock, especially for Dean Ambrose and what's his name, and Triple H there.
Yeah. Once again, Dean Ambrose continuing to, I guess, say, prove that he should have had the WrestleMania spot all along. I mean, it's just, in every way, it's just, he looks and sounds and just walks and acts just like someone who should be in the main event of WrestleMania, and barring them just completely blowing everything up. Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's in this to be the quote-unquote roadblock that gets knocked down.
Yeah, I've read some criticism of the angle with him and Triple H. I can't remember where it was, but basically there's no chemistry between the two. And what? The two of them together. But the one thing that really stood out to me last night was Dean Ambrose's promo. He kept it pretty by the books. I mean, the wacky part was kind of gone. There was something that still made its way in later. But it was like, I enjoyed the you'll respect me line, you'll respect this, I'm going to do this. It was something that you didn't normally see, and I was like, this is for a network thing that's going to be a throwaway. I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot of angles coming out of this thing. Because I can't see them doing Dean Ambrose taking the title. And I think it was pretty obvious when he got the upper hand on Triple H at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'd love to see it. I think it'd be a great thing to throw this monkey wrench in the plans, even if Roman Reigns ends up with the title no matter what at the end of WrestleMania, but just to throw something in there. But I'm sure Triple H and Dean Ambrose will have a good match, but in the end, whoever gets involved, whether it's Brock or League of Nations or whatever, or Triple H just beats him clean, I don't see Dean Ambrose winning this match.
Yeah, I forgot about the Brock Lesnar part. Since he is scheduled against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, they're going to get that out of the way, and that's probably not gonna be anything much. I mean, 10 minutes at most.
Yeah.
We'll form him out, and it's fine. Yeah.
Well, I was telling Kevin, I thought Bray Wyatt came out looking pretty good last night, actually.
Yeah, that was really interesting, the stare down with Triple H and the stroking of the title, and I don't know if he mouthed it, but kind of like a you owe me one type of thing there between him and Triple H.
Well, the thing that got me was the crowd always cheers for Wyatt when he starts, and it sort of boos, you know, because people want to like him. Well, then at the end, and I was talking to Kevin about this, at the end, when the lights go out, you know the Wyatt family's coming in, they just beat the hell out of Dean Ambrose, gives him the Sister Abigail, and then he's standing over him, and the crowd's kind of like, hey, wait a minute, no, the hell with you, and they finally start booing him, like a legit reaction, and you could see in Bray Wyatt's face, it lit up, like, got him, it's like, finally got him against me. You could just see in his face the confidence. I mean, he was eating it up. And Luke Harper always doing a great job back there. Looking the most natural for a guy holding his arms out with his hands down. Unlike Braun Strowman, who they need to talk to him. Be like, no. Your arms can't be that stiff and have your hands falling down. It looks ridiculous. But that's where and then they had the Triple H thing, which people really wanted that, which kind of went against the whole heel vindication. But they teased at the Royal Rumble, I believe, right? And then they actually did exchange punches, if I remember right.
No, I think Bray Wyatt was gone by the time Triple H came in. Wasn't he?
No, the Final Four was Wyatt, Ambrose, Reigns, and Hunter, I thought. Or was it Ziggler?
He was in there, but I don't think they ever met up.
I think it was Triple H, Sheamus, Ambrose.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But there was another meeting with Wyatt and Triple H at one point, and they teased it then too. But it was a while ago. But so right there, I was like, you know what? It's weird that they're giving everybody all these little side things now. Where the hell did Lana and Brie Bella come from? But then with this, you've got Dean Ambrose going after the title, Roman Reigns going after the title. Now all of a sudden, Bray Wyatt's like, I'll take a piece of that too. You know, Lesnar obviously would be in that. It's like, they've built up all these guys all of a sudden. And I know I'm overextending on the Bray Wyatt build-up, but this doesn't happen. I mean, even with John Cena, it's always one guy.
Yeah, and all this is going on while Roman Reigns is out, and he was supposed to be back this week. He was supposed to be in a match on Saturday, but that's been taken schedule, so he's not healing as early as they thought he would from his nasal surgery. So that may be a question mark of where he's going to be, how he's going to be. I mean, he's got 4 weeks to recover from a was sounded like minor nasal surgery. So I don't think he'll miss WrestleMania or anything. But in the meantime, you got Dean Ambrose, even now Bray Wyatt, and of course always Brock Lesnar. All these people who are more over than him, intermingling with each other and with Triple H, that once. It's a tough thing for it's gonna be tough anyway for Roman Reigns coming out of WrestleMania if it is as we suspect. It's just, nothing's gonna change coming out of Saturday, and it's still Roman Reigns versus Triple H 1-on-1 in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't know. I've talked to Kevin about this. Like, I'm always for chaos, so
yeah,
that blowing it up would be the greatest thing ever. Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose for the title. I mean, all right.
Yeah, I guess that I always just defend the point that they rarely do that. Like, what happened even with Daniel Bryan, if you consider that blowing up, it happened way sooner than this. It did not happen 3 weeks before WrestleMania. That at least happened pretty much immediately. I'm
trying to remember if it was 3 or 4 weeks before when they did the Occupy Raw segment with all the nerdy fans jumping in the ring, all dressed the same.
But they already had a plan, though, at that point. Right. Like, I mean, because I don't think he was immediately in the picture either. But, I mean, you could tell just from the post, I don't know if it was Elimination Chamber still that year.
Yeah, probably the Elimination Chamber, yeah. I mean, when Punk walked out and crowds farted on Batista, I mean, they had no choice.
Right. So, I mean, the build, at least it happened. Maybe the clear signaling of it happened around this time. But you got the hint that they were finally going with Daniel Bryan at that point. And with Ambrose, again, like Jeremy said, as soon as he gave Triple H the dirty deeds at the end of the show, you're like, yep, he's losing.
There's still always a chance, and I'm hoping for chaos. As Jeremy said, I'm hoping for chaos. I'm hoping for an Ambrose win leading to a triple threat, four-way, the title being defended 2-3 times in the night. Just any kind of crazy scenario.
There it goes. It had to happen sooner. I was going to say, and Kev, we talked about this. What's the main event for WrestleMania? What's the last match? What's the true ending point for WrestleMania this year?
I think they're going to go with Shane versus Taker now.
I think they're still going to go with Roman Reigns and Triple H. If nothing happens to change things on Saturday, they're going to be stubborn. They're going to be hard headed. They want their WrestleMania moment to be Roman Reigns triumphing over Triple H. That's what they want. They want Roman Reigns holding the title over his head at the end of WrestleMania.
See, I want to agree with that, but I don't know. Because go back, was it 2-3 weeks now? Everyone's sitting going, what's this WrestleMania going to be? Roman Reigns and Triple H in the main events? Ugh, God. And then, Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. Yay. All right. Go next week, and all of a sudden Shane shows up, and it's like, this WrestleMania is all of a sudden cool. With one match, kind of reinvigorated people for the event. Seemingly reinvigorated everybody for the event. So I don't know, they can get away with putting Shane Taker on at the end. I hear what you're saying about them being stubborn, but they may be thinking the same thing. Especially if they can get a whole... This match, the Hell in a Cell, is going to be a total theater. You know it's not going to be the two of them, because for the Undertaker to lose, there has to be astronomical reasons why. And I don't see, you know, that being anything other than that. If Taker loses, I don't know.
Right.
But, so I guess Taker winning is a good way to go off. Taker losing, you have the shock of it, and then, you know, the new beginning for WWE, I guess, they want to sell it that way.
Which, you know? Which I still have no faith in, even if Shane does win.
Yeah, it's, they, yeah, because, you know, it's cool, Shane's going to be there. So, one line that got me last night, I was surprised that it was approved, was that you've got guys with character but zero talent or something like that.
With opportunity but zero talent.
Yeah, that was it. I was like, holy shit, who's it? I mean, he didn't even bother going and pontificating or beating his chest about it, but I was like, that's a rough line. If you're in the back, like, what the hell is he talking about?
Oh, see, now, why did I think that that was the opposite way around, that they were getting zero opportunity?
Well, he said it both ways. People with all the talent getting zero opportunity, and people with no talent getting all the opportunities. I think that was the line.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, yeah, I guess I drifted off on that second part then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a brutal thing to say. I don't know. I guess that's like his setup for his version of WWE or Raw or whatever coming up. But I don't know. I thought that was a very peculiar line to say. And I don't know if that's supposed to be like... And I'm not saying this because I don't really hate Roman Reigns at all. I just kind of still meh about him. I was wondering if that was like supposedly a dig at him as a character, not as an actual individual. But... They never went with that beat, so you can't even follow it. So that's all speculation. But
yeah, I mean, and I don't think they're gonna follow up with it in any way either, just because they're definitely concentrating more on the McMahon family dynamic than they are on really anything that Shane says outside of his family.
Yeah,
and we've got 3 more weeks for them not to drag Linda out. Hopefully.
Well, that's...
drag her out.
Thank goodness that it hasn't happened.
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
Yeah, she's trying to clean up her image, clean up her act, and be this, Republican, campaign donor. So she's not gonna. Well, yeah.
How many times do you have to get your ass handed to you in the primaries or an election to realize you're not getting elected? So I guess there could be that point to where it's like, nah, it's okay, I'll return. And I mean, that's why I shouldn't have said I can't see it ever happening, because they can make scenarios to where it would happen with ease. So, but I mean, for Raw though, that was the big stuff. I mean, I was telling Kevin they booked this thing back. Wrote the show backwards. The first hour should have been the last hour, outside of the Bray Wyatt Dean Ambrose stuff. I like the placement of AJ Styles and Chris Jericho and New Day, but they had the Shane thing, and right after that they had Kevin Owens with Sami Zayn showing up, and then they immediately go to a Shane package, not immediately, but followed that with like a Shane package of all his crazy stuff, which was funny watching with someone who didn't know what was going on. Because they show that one where Shane climbs all the way off the Titantron, jumps off, and Elise was like, "Is he gonna jump off of that?" I'm like, "Just wait." Yeah,
just give it a second here.
Yeah, and then we got some other just regular old stuff. It was nice to see that they followed through with The Miz and Dolph Ziggler in their best of 2 out of 3 roll up contest. And just put Dolph in a match against guys that he should have lost to.
Yeah.
Booking angles on Twitter. Whoa. Hey, interesting.
Oh, and bringing up something that, for the most part, has been mentioned, honestly, by the announcers, But there's been nothing of consequence, for the most part, to come of Ziggler winning at Survivor Series.
And why do you even bring it up right now, when once again, the carrot is dangling that the, you know, the authority could be gone after WrestleMania? Why even remind people that, that the last time you promised us they were only gone 4 weeks?
Which may have been the point, but...
we're only going to be gone for 4 weeks again, guys. Don't worry about it. We'll be back.
But, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much a lackluster show. I mean, it starts hot, gets your interest, and then they are relying on New Day to carry a segment or to keep you interested, so that's nice.
Well, and I do think that you at least, like you mentioned, though, I think that you started to get a look at some of the other matches on the WrestleMania card. Because there seems to be something possibly brewing with Kalisto and Ryback. I would think that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will have some type of a match at this juncture.
Well, according to Meltzer, that the Intercontinental title match is still slated to be some sort of multi-man match. Owens and Zayn are both in it, but and things can change. But as of right now, they're gonna have at least four other guys, and I don't know if there's gonna be a ladder involved or what. But as of right now, it's a multi-man match.
Yeah, and that makes sense too. Like just because he was kind of having the open invitational type of situation, that wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I guess it does make sense. Match there and then build to the Zeno and singles match later on a show where it could be have at least a little more focus to it than WrestleMania being thrown out there for 10 minutes or less.
I'm figuring the multi-man match, if it's for the IC title, it's gotta be Owen, Zane, Neville. They'll probably throw Barrett in there for whatever, or Rusev for whatever reason.
Some of the League of Nations, then maybe Ziggler and Miz probably. Because they did reference the Intercontinental title during their little tete-a-tete last week. Oh, jeez. There we go.
Yeah. Button there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I'm guessing this is the end of the show. I'm going to start coughing here, too. So... yeah, but no, it's... And then they got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal for everybody else, so that's fine.
Yeah, so like I said, like I don't think that they really finalized anything with those matches, but you could tell that at least they were starting to lay the groundwork for some of that stuff, because clearly it's not going to be Styles and Y2J taking on New Day at WrestleMania. It probably will have something to do with the League of Nations, who, you know,
well, they announced
won a handicap match. Huh?
Wait, they did?
Yes, New Day versus League of Nations at Roblox.
Really? I did not catch that. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I missed that.
But I feel bad in this case because the Dudleys came back and been forgotten, and then the Usos have just gotten forgotten as well.
Well, the tag team division, you can only have one team challenge at a time, unless they do a multi-way thing, but I bring up in heaven every week, it's the New Day have beaten everyone else more than once already since they won the titles back, so yeah, they definitely need something new, and maybe the complete babyface turn is coming at WrestleMania.
Might as well, but they are doing a pretty good job making their asses annoying, though. That's for sure. It's like they're really fun when they come out, and then they start, and it's like, I'm like, oh no, they're doing their job. They're not as entertaining now, so right. That's good. So good for them. But all right, I'm thinking we need to start wrapping up here. Not long enough. So
what?
Really? Come on, we only spent 40-some-odd minutes on Hogan versus Gawker.
I think it was actually closer to 50.
So much for the 20 minutes. That's why I stuck.
Oh,
did we just lose him?
I think we made it to lose Jeremy.
Well, fuck him. Now that he's gone. Okie dokie. Well, we'll let him hear that in recording. For at Granny Mate. Oh, you know what? I can say that Stunt Granny Brewing's Irish Whip, 1 week until it's ready to taste. So we may have a live tasting during Stunt Granny Audio 346. Yes, for the three-man booth here at Stunt Granny Audio 345, that was Granny Maze. I'm DeFrango 11. On the other end is at Chris Calamita under the banner of at Stunt Granny. Everybody, have a good night.